Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider, hour number two of our program. And as we said in hour number one, we welcomed David Sisk. We've never had him on the show. And hour number two, we will welcome another young man who, well, we've heard of him, we've known about him, but I don't know that we've ever had him on our airwaves. And we are pleased and proud to welcome John Morris, who spent a lot of his childhood in the state of Kentucky, but he is now the radio voice and an assistant athletics director for Baylor University down in Waco. And it's especially fun for me because John worked with a great Frank Fallon, and I was down there in the early days of the Southwest Conference Radio Network when Host Communications ran that operation. John, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Dick, it's great to be on. It's good to get a call from the 859, and I like the introduction when you call me young, so I appreciate that, man.
Well, that's good. Good to have you. And explain to everybody that your link to the state of Kentucky was because of your dad's line of work, right?
Yeah, exactly. He graduated from Baylor University in 1958 and went to Southern Seminary in Louisville, so that's how we got to Kentucky, and then he pastored churches around in Louisville and Winchester, Somerset, and then we landed in Danville. And from the fifth grade on, I was in Danville and graduated from there, came to school at Baylor, and have been in Waco ever since.
Yeah, and you also, though, worked and kind of got your start like so many of us. You know, you start at the bottom, you work your way up. And you worked at good old WHIR in Danville with my old friend Steve Bertram. Tell me a little bit about drifting into
great
radio.
Great to mention Steve's name.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was so good to me. And, you know, he really is a guy that fanned the flame of interest in broadcasting for me. He let me hang around him and make me think I was helping, doing something. But he was very generous, you know, with his time. And I just I love Steve. It's been great to stay in touch with him through the years, and I just respect him so much and how long he's been doing this, you know? So it's great to, you know, be able to call his name during our talk this evening.
And you know what is so great about WHIR, small town radio, but it is such a major part of the history of that city. You know, Danville's Admirals, and now Boyle County has been so great, and it's just one of the great stories, I think, in AM radio, that it's just ingrained in that community, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, and it really is for me. And, you know, with the advent of TuneIn Radio, I can, you know, listen to that station anytime. I can listen to your station anytime, which is really fun for me. But I kind of keep up. Steve still does, you know, daily sports reports on WHIR. So I'll tune in every morning and listen to that. And Joe Mathis does the morning show there. So that is really, really fun. And this recent run by Danville High School Baseball, you know, to the state tournament, I was really plugged into that.
Yeah.
So it's been really fun to stay in touch that way.
Is that where you went to high school?
Danville, yes, sir.
Okay.
Proud of it.
I think your Admirals lost to my Trinity Shamrocks in the semis, but they did have a
run. They didn't make it to Trinity. They lost to McCracken County in the semifinals.
Right. Okay.
But
and
Trinity was, golly, it sounds like just a machine because I know how good Danville was this year.
Yeah.
Trinity
yeah.
ends up being state champs.
Danville hit a lot of home runs this year. John, now the voice, as we said, of the Baylor Bears, and boy, you capped off. These were strange. This last year and a half, odd, but what a thrill to be at Baylor this year, right?
Oh, man, absolutely. You know, I really love what I do, and I love doing it for my alma mater. There's just something special about doing games for your school, so I've always loved it. But this year, you know, basketball in particular with Scott Drew and the Baylor men and mm-hmm. what they did, you know, ending up with a Big 12 championship, which is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, that's a big deal to win the Big 12. And then just kept right on rolling to the national championship in Indianapolis. And I think Baylor was clearly the best team, you know, in the tournament, the best team this season. So it was really, really fun, even with all the, you know, speed bumps, the COVID speed bumps we had to navigate this year. It was so fun to be around this team and watch them succeed this year.
John, the name Art Briles still gives a lot of people vivid memories of some pretty nasty allegations in the college athletics world. How did the university come together and move as a whole past this? How has the athletics department bounced back culture-wise from all of this?
Yeah, good question. And culture is a good word to use with the way that Baylor has handled that and really gotten better because of that. That was so tough to go through. You know, Coach Briles did a great job coaching on the field. We won back-to-back Big 12 championships under him. But then things just weren't being handled the proper way off the field. And Baylor needed a reset, and we got it in the hardest way possible. So I think I can say now very distinctly that Baylor is better having been through that. You know, the way that we handle Title IX issues and reporting of Title IX issues, we are much better at that, and there's much more oversight in that area than we had previously. So it was tough to go through. But Baylor really is better on the other side, having been through that.
John, you mentioned, going back to the basketball team, you mentioned how they won the Big 12 tournament and had to overcome COVID hiccups. If I'm not mistaken, I believe they had to shut things down for a few weeks toward the end of the regular season, maybe February, and then had that game against Kansas where they looked gassed. At that point, was there any doubt among just those covering and watching the teams whether they could fulfill all the promise of earlier in the season? And how much more does that just make this season incredible, knowing what they went through pretty much maybe even less of a month before the tournament?
Yeah, well, so many schools went through situations like this year. Ours was, we were off for 3 weeks. There was 3 weeks from February 3rd or February 2nd to February 23rd with no games and really only a couple of days of practice before they got back out there on February 21st and played, I think, Iowa State 2 days later and then Kansas that weekend. So, to shut down for 3 weeks in the middle of the season, that is asking a lot to come back from that. But that's what they did, and it took a while to come back. Lost a game to Kansas. One of only two losses was to Kansas right after that, and then lost to Oklahoma State in the Big 12 tournament. But they finally, when they got eliminated from the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City, you want to win it. You want to win every game. But it really turned out to be a good thing because then they got some practice time from the Big 12 tournament going into the NCAAs, and that's what they needed. They just needed to get on the practice floor and everybody, get back to the basics that had gotten them to, I think we started the year 17-0. So it was tough to come back from. In the end, you look back on it, and you know it was tough. But in some ways, it was a blessing because, that's 3 weeks off your legs in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
And it is tough to rebound from that. But they were, they were going full speed, full gear once it got to the NCAA tournament.
Talking to John Morris, he's a Louisville native, grew up in Danville. He is the radio voice of the Baylor Bears. 36 years, I think, at Baylor, and 35 and 26 years as the lead voice, football and basketball. And as I mentioned, I go back to the early 80s for a couple of years down there and work with a great Frank Fallon. And for folks who you've heard him, if you've watched old Final Fours at the NCAA, because he was the PA man for the Final Four for many years, but just a legendary announcer and of course, a voice that sounded like God touched him in the throat. But it's tough to follow a guy like that. John, tell me what that's been like for you.
Well, Dick, you know how good he was, and
yeah.
He was as good of an announcer as he was. He was an even better person.
No
question.
He
was a great man. Yeah, and just represented Baylor so well and represented college athletics so well. And I got to work with him for 8 years, and that was the best learning experience, anybody could ever have.
Yeah.
When Frank was doing play-by-play, this was in football, and I got to work doing color with him for 8 years. So I learned from him, and, anything good that we do is a reflection of Frank because mm-hmm. he was such a gentleman, and in my mind, he'll always be the voice of the Baylor Bears.
Yeah.
I'll have this position for, a certain length of time, and then I'll hand it off to somebody else, but Frank to me will always be the voice of the Baylor Bears. And he loved that, you know, that Southwest Conference radio network that you were involved in. He loved that because it really, you know, it was very innovative and very unique at that time. And it worked until, you know, one school decided they didn't want to be a part of it and kind of imploded the whole thing. But Frank was such a gentleman and such a great man. And I'd encourage, he's, you know, to put it to your listeners, you know, in perspective, he was our Kaywood Ledford.
Yes.
You know, he was Kaywood. And everybody loves Kay Wood, and everybody loves Frank Fallon here.
Yep.
John, you've had an up-close look at college basketball for quite a long time and on the national championship team this year. As a sport as a whole, do you feel like that there is a flopping epidemic? Do you feel like that if somebody flops, they should be given a technical?
Sounds like this is an ongoing conversation, huh? our guys, so here I'll answer that from a Baylor perspective. We had the National Defensive Player of the Year this year, a guy named Davion Mitchell, an outstanding guard. And he had the uncanny knack of getting in position and drawing charges. And I would dare say none of those were flops. You know, he would get his feet in position and would move and was so athletic that he could get in position to draw those charges. So, you know, looking at that, it can be done that way. I think others maybe who don't have that athletic ability or court sense, you know, that Davion has, maybe that's where they get in a position where it is a flop. But I don't know. I think the officials have a good handle on it, and maybe there is more of an eye on that these days than there has been in the past.
John, looking ahead about 2 months out of football season, Baylor's had a crazy 5 years, really, of ups and downs, more than maybe anyone in Power Five. Obviously, 2 years ago, 11-1, and then last year, 2-7 in that weird COVID year. Now, 2 years removed from Matt Rhule, what's kind of the expectation for Baylor going into 2021?
Well, our new head coach is Dave Aranda, going into his second year, came to Baylor from LSU. He was part of that national championship team for LSU, was the defensive coordinator, and this is his first head coaching job here at Baylor. And I just felt so bad for him last year because his first head coaching job, and he has to go through all the COVID, protocols and no spring practice and all of that. So it really wasn't, to me, a good barometer of how good a coach Dave is. But I think we're already seeing it now because they've had a full season a full off season with spring practice, with recruits being on campus now, with their families coming in. And I think we're going to have a marked improvement on the team this year from 2-7 to really seeing what Dave Aranda and his staff can do this year.
John, I always root for the old Southwest Conference teams, all nine of the teams that were, with maybe one exception, that were in the league when I was there. But I thought it was so much fun when RG3 was at Baylor. What was it like on a football Saturday when you had that guy at the controls of your football team?
Well, he was just electric. I mean, he really was. And he had, God-given athletic ability, but he worked so hard and great personality, great to be around. And that season, so his Heisman season was 2011, and it was just a magical year for Baylor. It really was. And he, you know, he wasn't alone. You can't do it with one guy. But RG3 was the center point of that year. We went to New York. I got to go and cover that Heisman in New York. And you just knew, you know, it was like traveling with a rock star because he was the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman. And we were there, and we, you know, being from Baylor, we were kind of part of his entourage. Mm-hmm. And that opened a lot of doors in New York City that weekend. So it was really, really fun to be around him. And, he has not been able to avoid injuries for the most part in the pros after his freshman season. I'm sorry, his rookie season in the NFL. But, boy, he's going to be in success in whatever he does. And see if Rob doesn't get into broadcasting at some point. I think he's got the makeup for that, and I think he'd be great at it.
I used to watch him, and I worried for him when he was playing in Washington.
Yeah.
And it was so dynamic. But I'm like, man, you got to learn to get down. You got to learn to get out of bounds. And, yeah, he's been banged up. Just a minute or two left with John. But we could go all night on this next question. But the playoff, it looks like, is going to be 12 teams. I've got to think – that you're in favor of that?
Yeah, I think so. I'm a little curious why it went from 4 to 12. I don't really understand all that. You know, I thought 6 or 8 was where we were going. But I'm in favor of it. I think, you know, you want to find the best team. So the more that you have in the playoffs, you know, that pool is bigger to try to get to the best team. And for our league, for the Big 12, I think we'll be well represented. Certainly the SEC will be well represented every year. But, yeah, I'm in favor of it, and I just like the competition. You know, if we can have more games and more high-profile games, I'm totally in favor of it.
Well, John, it's a pleasure and a privilege to talk to you, and we'll do it again, I hope. But for a guy, we've tread the similar path, you know, getting started at local radio and coming from Louisville, and I was so happy to make your acquaintance over the phone and emails. And thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, Dick, I appreciate your work for a long, long time, and great to be on with you, and let's stay in touch. And I always look forward to any matchups between Baylor and Kentucky, so hopefully that'll happen for us here in the near future.
Sounds good, man. Have a good one. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have
a
great night. Thank you.
John Morris, a Louisville native, grew up in Danville, started at WHIR Radio. And by the way, Steve Bertram, the guy who helped get John started, if you went to Lexington Legends games on their first season, Steve was the PA man for the Legends and just did a tremendous job with them as well. Drove all the way from Danville for every home game. We're back in a minute here on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Thanks again to John Morris for joining us. Radio voice of the Bears, the current men's basketball. Didn't even have a chance to ask him about losing Kim Mulkey, the women's coach who's won multiple championships to LSU. So maybe we'll do that next time. John doesn't call the Baylor women games, but still, it would be interesting to hear what he had to say. And, boy, what a connection. You know, a guy born in Louisville, grew up in Danville, but went to Baylor as his parents did. And that's why they ended up, became his alma mater. So, 280-228-7800-606-4263. You can tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. And he mentioned the playoffs. I heard, or one of you did, or I guess I did, he talked about it. One of the committee members talked about the number 12. And what it basically did, fellas, was protect the opportunities for schools. And they're likely going to be the Power Fives, to get that first round bye. In other words, this is the way to ensure, you know, more teams involved and the first round bye. You guys agree with that format? What do you think, Billy? Or good, Aaron, if you're ready.
Yeah, I like the idea of more teams. I've always been banging the drum for that. But to, as John said, jumping from 4 to 12, I don't know. I think that's a little much. Personally, I think 8 is the magic number. That way you get, you know, I think one Power 5, non-Power 5 bid, and then maybe like a couple wild cards, and I don't know how you can – maybe you could still have the bye and have, you know, the bottom four play each other, but I don't know. I just think 12 is a little much.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that also ensures that the non-Power 5 schools have a better shot at getting in there by having 12. You know, you've got the buys, you've got at-larges, you've got the other group involved. So, I thought the math made sense when I heard it.
You know, I'm all for this. I'm all for more meaningful football games and not bowl games that are meaningful to the programs, but, you know, not to the ultimate goal of a national championship. So I'm all for more games. And I also think we're going to see some upsets. While the first four that are in that get the buy are going to be the Titans, and they're going to be tough to knock off. I do think we see a little craziness. A Houston, who has a Case Keenum, to at least have a shot to make the championship. The old method before just didn't even allow them the chance, even if they went undefeated. So I'm all for it.
You know what's ironic about this is even though it's their own poll, you've still got a subjective top 25 involved. And the biggest knock on the old BCS, and I wasn't a huge fan of it, but I felt like all they needed was one more game and add one, and, you know, you had four, and here we go. Because at the end of the year, all we did was argue about two teams. But you still have the man-made poll. People are still voting, and that's what people screamed about with regard to the BCS. Why do these voters have so much power? Why do people pay attention to that? We'll pick that up on the other side of the break, but baby steps, but it's never going to be perfect, and they're never going to do away with all the griping and complaining. But any pub is a good pub. At least that's what they say.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Aaron Gershon, Billy Rutledge. Let's go to the phones and talk to Mr. John Short. Hello, John.
Hi, Dick Gabriel.
How are you, sir?
I'm listening. How are you doing?
What is on your mind tonight? I hope you're keeping an eye on Devin Booker and then the Los Angeles Clippers / Wildcats.
He's doing good in the NBA, but I've been hearing.
How about that?
That's something. We could use working those few more seasons at Kentucky.
I know, John. You want to see him stay for 4 years, but that's just, you know, we all. Well, yeah. I can't say we all do, but you know, I know that that you're an old school guy.
That's right, and so an old school person, then we don't need college athletes to be paid. The Supreme Court did the wrong thing today.
Well,
John Robertson and Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah, well, you know, you're kind of stuck with it, John. I mean, the only, like I said, to me, the ripple effect will be who pays the bills. I'm really curious to see how this affects college athletics. I'm afraid, for instance, I like covering, obviously, baseball and volleyball games I broadcast for SEC Plus. And at some levels, those sports will be in danger. Not at Kentucky, at least not for a long time. But eventually they're going to, you know, something's got to give financially. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think your beloved Wildcats will be fine. Basketball and football. And women's
That's
basketball.
That's good, isn't it?
You love them all, though, John, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I know you talked earlier about recruiting. You didn't say anything about who Carrie Elsie recruiting for a women's team. We didn't hear who he's going to. Who is he going to get?
You know, John, just for you, we need to get someone who's an expert at I don't know that David recruits within women's basketball arena, but just for you, we need to grab somebody who can fill us in on that and make you happy.
Yep.
All right, anything else?
That'd be good.
Yeah.
And we're getting about 2 months away until football season begins.
Can't wait, John. Can't wait. Good talking to you. 280-2287-800-606-4263. Tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. We have talked so much local sports, fellas. We haven't had a chance to get into what happened nationally over the weekend, starting with the U.S. Open. And Billy, admit it now, you were sweating it when DeChambeau was making a run, weren't you?
I was, Dick, and it was solely because my family was in on the joke. I went in, went to see my dad for Father's Day, and they decided they were the biggest Bryson DeChambeau fans on the planet Earth.
Because of you.
Because of, yes, my stance here on the radio show.
Do they really believe you're wrong, or were they just messing with
no,
you?
No, they think I'm wrong. My little brother called Bryson his hero.
But your dad put him up to that, though,
he did,
right?
He did. And then when he was 5-under with 10 holes left to play and leading the tournament, I was about to eat my words. And then
would that have been such a bad thing if he had won? Because at the time, you and I have discussed this to the point of argument. I don't feel that strongly about it, but I just think you're funny. But my contention is, yeah, he can rip it. A lot of guys can rip it just because he rips it the farthest, and he's got to make shots, and he was making shots.
Well, yeah, the world's not going to end if he wins a golf tournament, Dick, but I don't want him to win. That's for sure.
Well, my question is, would it have been so bad if he had? Because, like I said, you know, they wouldn't just hand him a trophy because he won a long drive contest. You know, he had to make shots, and he did for
yes,
a while.
Yes, because I would have to hear about it. And, you know, we as golf fans would have to hear about DeChambeau and how he's changing the sport and how everybody has to keep up with him. Because that's the next phase of this, right, Dick, is DeChambeau is going to win another major or win a major, and all the little kids around the world are going to wear these floppy-billed hats from the 20s, and they're going to try to hit it past all the hazards and trees when they should be aiming for the fairway instead of trying to aim over them all.
Do you really think their dad, their mom, their coaches, whoever would allow them to hit the ball that way?
Yeah, because you're not going to tell a kid to not play like Kobe Bryant or to not play like Michael Jordan, their heroes growing up, And Bryson is revitalizing a whole generation of golf fans. So,
but just because they want to hit it that way doesn't mean they can.
Look, they should look closely at his 8-over-par 9 holes that he had at the end of that tournament and how he completely choked it away.
He did. He fell apart. No question about
that.
A
quadruple bubble. Bogey.
You could. And I'm sitting there going, hey, I can do that. Hey, I've done that more than once. A snowman. You don't see many snowmen on the front end of a major like that. But, but I kept thinking, oh, man, if he wins this turn. But you know what? I have to be perfectly honest with you. I think I mentioned this Friday. I was rooting for Rahm. I really was. You know, and the story about the fact that when he tested positive, his family had to be quarantined, so his mom and dad couldn't see the new baby, stuff like that. I mean, you can't – how do you not love that, right?
No, and the way that he finished, birdie.
Oh, my gosh.
On a scoreable 18th hole at the U.S. Open, it was just – it was a fun finish. And for him to make those putts, it made the day for sure.
Aaron, you're not big on golf, but do you get swept up into debates like this?
Well, what I'll say is, Bill, I think Billy and I are polar opposites with baseball and golf. Okay, Billy's a big golf guy, casual baseball guy, and then I'm the opposite.
Right.
And with baseball, Billy wants to see, you know, extra innings turn into home run derby. But with golf, he doesn't like when the guy is just trying to hit it as far as he can. I love it. Just smack it. It's more fun to watch that way. But baseball, I already hate the extra innings, the doubleheaders. Now they're doing TSA pat-downs when you take the mound. I don't know if you guys saw the video of Jacob DeGrom today. It's embarrassing. So I hate all the antics, but with golf, if he's going to hit it as hard as he can, why not? That's more fun to me to watch.
Let's go to the phone. Ryan is on line one. How you doing, Ryan?
Great. How you doing, Dick?
What's up?
Well, I don't know. Just I think that I love the fact that Rahm could play as well as he did too. But I guess I was going to talk about football. My two favorite football teams, UK and the Green Bay Packers.
There you go.
I'm thinking, and this is maybe bold, but I am totally sold, and I've been watching UK football for a long time. I think they can go 10-2. I really do. I don't think there's any reason why they can't. So, I mean, is that expecting too much or not?
No, because you've seen it before, and the schedule, I think, is manageable. I don't use the words winnable, but any game's winnable. But I do think if whoever is starting at quarterback settles in, and if the middle of their D-line and the middle of their O-line is stable, I agree with you.
Do you think the Missouri game is the pivotal game, so to speak?
It's one of them. I think if they lose that one, it's going to be almost impossible to get it back. I really think they'll play well against Missouri. That was a dreadful performance last year for whatever reason.
Yes.
And I will always hate that trip because it was a horrible game to cover, and I ended up with COVID when I got home. So I'm convinced I caught it on that road trip. So but, yeah, that's a huge game. But, really, those first four, if they can put them away. And then, as always, they're making up ground on Florida. I think they're better than Tennessee right now. It sets up for a pivotal game with Georgia.
Hello?
Anything else?
Well, I think I lost you there, so I apologize. But no,
that's all right.
The Packers. And I hate to say this because I'm not in the camp, but what do you expect from Jordan Love?
I think he'll struggle. I think he'll be eventually be good. I think they've got good weapons around him. They've got a good O-line. Which is huge, metaphorically speaking.
No, I think they have a great team around him. The problem is, do you really think he'll eventually be good? Because I sat through the Notre Dame quarterback when Aaron Rodgers got hurt, and it was painful to watch.
Which Notre Dame quarterback?
Oh, it's the guy that he ended up getting traded to I forgot his name. I'm sorry. Brett Hundley.
Oh, no, he was UCLA, wasn't he?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he was right. he was a huge disappointment to me. That kid. I thought that kid.
Yeah, me too. I was thinking of MSV.
Yeah.
He played Notre Dame, didn't he?
Yes, I believe so. And then the kid, the backup last year, was the kid from EKU. But he signed a free agent deal with the Lions.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm hoping that everything works out, but I'm nervous as a fan. So anyway, thanks for speaking
all right.
with me.
Appreciate it, Ryan.
Good night.
Good talking to you. And by the way, you guys tell me, should I be excited over the fact that Aaron Rodgers re-upped on his membership with the Green Bay Country Club?
Oh, I like that. That is the insider info that could lead you to the ultimate decision, Dick. So, yes, I do like
Aaron,
that.
You snickered.
I don't know. I still have this weird feeling, and you'll like this, that he's just going to come back. I don't know how it's going to come about. I don't know what. It's a matter of them not trading him. But I don't know. I've always had this gut feeling, despite everything looking as bad as it is, that he's going to be the starting quarterback for the Packers.
If indeed the rub is the conversation that Mark Murphy had with him, and he is the closest thing they have to an owner. He's the guy at the top of the totem pole. If indeed Rodgers was offended and teed off at a conversation they had where Murphy allegedly said, "Don't you be the problem. Don't you be the problem," then they got to do whatever they can. I mean, you can't fire Mark Murphy, but that guy's going to have to get down on one knee and say, please forgive me. You know, whatever it takes. Look, you know the guy has got a weird, different personality. Do what it takes to hold your team together. Put egos aside. You know, if you're in the front office, you know the athletes are going to have egos. And do what's best for your team and for that community, you know, a team that is owned by that community. But whether it happens or not, I don't know. But either way, he's going to have many rounds of golf.
If you're committed to going to the West Coast with your actress fiance, I don't think you re-up at the Wisconsin Country Club.
Probably not.
No.
Those are my feelings. And, you know, right now the Niners are committed to Garoppolo, but I'm sure they would make room in their locker room for Aaron Rodgers if he indeed somehow works his way there.
No way.
But they drafted Trey Lance. Unless they're going to flip Trey Lance.
Are you trying to tell me they wouldn't get rid of him in a heartbeat?
I mean,
or get rid of Garoppolo.
Well, they obviously want to get rid of Garoppolo, but you traded up, what, 11 spots, 9 spots, whatever it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Get Trey Lance. I just don't see them. I think Garoppolo, it's going to be the typical, he'll start for 2 weeks and then Lance will be in by week 3.
You really think that if the Packers decided, all right, we got to get what we can, you really believe that the Niners, they passed on Tom Brady apparently, do you really believe the Niners would say, no, we're good, we've got Garoppolo and we've got our quarterback of the future, no, we don't want Aaron Rodgers?
I think the team that's more interesting now is Denver. I think Green Bay, if they're going to trade them, they want to get them the hell out of the NFC, especially the San Francisco team is going to compete. Denver has a wide-open quarterback situation, and, you know, I don't know. I know right now with their situation, they're probably looking at picking pretty early in the first round for a little bit. Obviously, that would change with Rodgers, but they have the picks, and they have some interesting quarterbacks to throw in there. So I think they're the team to watch, really.
It hurts me to even talk about the possibility of my team losing him, but they've screwed up. So, all right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little NBA because former Wildcats are having some fun right now in the playoffs, and upsets are the order of the day. We're back in a minute here on 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge, Aaron Gershon, final segment of our program. And if you were watching sports over the weekend and didn't watch the U.S. Open, you might have been watching the NBA playoffs. I got a chance to flip around. That was my wonderful Father's Day. Had a little bit of a project to do here at the house, and then got it done and spent much of my time flipping around and catching the end. Oh, man. Milwaukee in an upset. Philadelphia goes down. The Nets and the Sixers, everybody's favorites to make a giant step forward. And now I saw a meme today, or a graphic, whatever you want to call it. The Suns, the Clippers, neither has ever won an NBA title. You know the last time the Bucks won their only championship? Can you guys, do you know or can you guess?
I think I saw it was 71.
Correct. Their center was a guy named Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He had been named, or been called the year before, Lew Alcindor, and changed his name. They also had a guard named Oscar Robertson. It was pretty good. And then the Hawks, Billy, do you know when the Hawks won their only championship?
Was it in the 80s, Dick?
1958.
Oh, wow.
And the star player was former Wildcat Cliff Hagan. His draft rights originally owned by the Boston Celtics. The Celtics and the Hawks put together this mega player, mega rights trade. And therefore, the Celtics end up with the rights to a young player named Bill Russell. How about that? So the Hawks could have had him, instead end up with Cliff Hagan, who was very popular with the Hawks back when they were in St. Louis. And now they're trying to win another championship. Have you guys had a chance to watch much? Or Billy, I know you were glued to the golf.
I watched the end of the Nets game, which was Kevin Durant looking like that Popeyes worker that was hunched over after a long day of making sandwiches.
Yeah.
He couldn't give any more than he had.
No.
It. I mean,
no.
Just short of 50 points. I felt almost bad for the superstar athlete that was trying to do it by himself.
I heard a debate on sports radio somewhere today. Was this like a choke job, or is it disappointing, or how would you classify what the Nets did? And Aaron, I don't know about you, but after watching what Durant did, and you know, Harden's out there playing on one leg. And I remember thinking, and KD was so great, I remember thinking, I don't even care. I mean, Harden's not even a factor in this game because he's so hobbled, one, but two, Durant is so great. But it wasn't enough.
Well, as a Knicks fan, I'm thrilled. I did watch all of Game 7 both yesterday and today.
Yeah.
Or yesterday and Saturday, rather. But what I'll say is this. Obviously, I respect the hell out of Kevin Durant. I've always liked Kevin Durant. And this series, to me, if anything, makes his legacy and his resume even more impressive, even though they didn't win just because of the performances he had. But I'm hearing a lot of these, oh, they were injured, blah, blah, blah. Look at the Clippers. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is by far and away the best player on that team. And they're able to knock off the number one seed Jazz, including winning a game in Utah, which is not an easy place to play, and get to the Western Conference Finals. And other teams have also been injured. I mean, Phoenix, obviously, Chris Paul, they're dealing with that now. But they go ahead and win game one without him yesterday. So I just don't see it as an excuse. I think it's an utter failure of a season. They're a super team, and they have great role players. It's not just their big three. And Joe Harris was not there that series. They were just outplayed, and they deserve to lose, and it's a failure I enjoy.
No, I agree. I will say I'll cut them a little more slack because they are of their big three, they were essentially down two. Harden tried to go. But you're right about the Clippers, and now are you guys – are you rooting for the Devin Booker team, or are you rooting for the Clippers who have, what, three former Wildcats?
Yeah, I'm not really – I don't know. I'm kind of torn on that one. I've been going back and forth. Whatever it is, I'm rooting for seven games. I can tell you that. yesterday was a great – that game one was a lot of fun. I mean, it was back and forth. And hopefully we'll get Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard in the series at some point.
Yeah, I'm rooting against playoff P, so I got to say I'm for the Suns and Devin Booker in this one. I'll also say that Kevin Durant earned more respect in that series loss than he did in the two championships he won with Golden State.
Yeah, probably true. Probably true because people resented that, you know, he went there and in search of a title. But you know what? Nobody holds that against Charles Barkley. Isn't that interesting? Barkley moved around at the end of his career, I guess just because he's so beloved because of his TV persona, but he did just that. I mean, he bounced around. That's, you know, he came close with the Sixers. Then he went to Phoenix, and I think he had one other stop. I don't know. But he went shopping for a team, and it's interesting how players sort of toward the end of their career, the last third or so, they made their money, they want their ring.
And Blake Griffin's doing it right now with the Nets.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Barkley didn't really join a super team, right? He didn't join a team that just won the championship.
Correct. But at the time, it was like, oh, Phoenix is so close. When Barkley got there, he was like, they were like, oh, that's it. That's all, you know. And so, and by the way, I've got to get into this. I haven't read it yet, but I heard about the fact that the Celtics, two players told Griffin, don't come here. We're all screwed up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about that tomorrow because, you know, Brad Stevens is supposedly the next coach of the Wildcats. I don't think so, but we'll talk about it. For Aaron and Billy, that's it. Good night from the garage in Lexington.